I don't claim to be an expert with a lot of experience as a solar recorder, so I'm going to talk about some perspectives on why the solar recorder might be advantageous from a physiological standpoint. So just share some thoughts, and I'm open to discussion on any of these thoughts, whether I'm thinking through it the right way or not, but we'll go from there. What's the button I need to push here? Okay. There we go. Physiology is the branch of biology that really deals with the functions of activities of life, basically. Living organisms, tissues, cells, and so forth. And the physical and chemical processes or phenomena that are involved. In its basic sense, it's really trapping the solar radiation through photosynthesis and then the various pathways that it uses to store those carbohydrates and form living matter. It's really looking at the efficient use of solar energy, the efficient use of other resources, and it's a valuable part of carbon sequestration, which is an important thing in today's environment. And the interaction of the plant and the environment in which it is growing is another part of physiology. And management and genetics all become a part of that program as well. So what we're going to look at then is how are all those processes related to the solar recorder concept. And as Leroy said, it's really planting the main crop. In most cases here, we're talking about corn in wide rows, which then allows more light penetration to get down into the crop canopy. And we're looking at 152 centimeter, which are 60, 72 inch rows basically, as the main crop. And that only occupies then about 50% of the land area. And the idea is to really grow the same yield using that same 50% of the land area and use the land area in between those rows then to grow another crop and get some additional benefits. And often as some of the other speakers will show that the yields can even be greater in the solar recorder system than they are with conventional railroads and so forth. And then we plant the floor crop. I think I'm using the right terminology there. In the gap area between those wide rows to utilize that sunlight and other resources, the water, the soil, and so forth as well, the nutrients that are involved, also better utilizing, more efficiently utilizing all of those. It may be another grain crop, it may be a vegetable crop, or a forage crop, or a cover crop. It has benefits conservation, and benefits building more organic matter. And the legume crop, as if the floor crop is a legume crop, it can provide an alternative source of nitrogen, maybe, for the main crop as well. And it may extend and enhance the microbiological activity. By having a crop growing, often the floor crop is growing in a different part of the growing season than the main crop. And by keeping biological activity going, that keeps some of the processes of nutrient utilization and carbohydrate or dry matter breakdown, things like that, keeps them active during a part of the season. All that can be beneficial to the whole cropping system. And it also can help with improving water use efficiency. As Leroy said, in many cases, we're looking, it's not always twin rows, but twin rows helps to maybe do a little better pattern of the spacing of plants. It comes back to some earlier work that I wasn't really involved in all this, but aware of it. I remember going to field days at the University of Illinois, and Dr. Johnny Pendleton was doing research where he tied up the leaves. At that time, corn leaves tended to grow out and down, kind of an umbrella canopy type. And Johnny's idea was if we could get those leaves to stand up, we could plant higher populations and still get more light down to the lower part of the leaf. And as a result of that, almost all the corn that we grow these days is upright leaf structure. And that really was picked up fairly quickly after he did that work. And I think that's really, in some ways, kind of the earlier, some of the earlier benefits similar to what we have with solar canopy. And the this allows more light to get down to the lower part of the canopy, and we could increase the plant population, and as I said, led to breeding a totally different plant structure. Fred Welch, who was a soil fertility specialist at the University of Illinois, and his graduate student, Mike Ottman, in the early 1980s, this was a project that I helped provide funding for through the Potash and Phosphate Institute and Foundation for Agronomic Research. And what Mike and Fred were doing was planting the corn and then bending it over at an angle so we could get more light in the lower part of the canopy. To do that, they often had to remove every other row to make that happen. And sometimes they put reflectors of plywood covered with aluminum foil to reflect more light up, and that's another way they did it. And they got some fairly impressive yield increases by doing that as well. I don't know of any practical use that was made of that. And just to really go all out on it, Fred set up fluorescent Grolux tubes down the rows between the corn plants and used electrical lights to add more light to the lower part of the canopy. And again, got some tremendous yield increases from that type of activity. Outside of getting Illinois Power Company excited about the potential market, nothing really became practical of that. But it did teach us that this concept of improving the light was worth looking at. And they also planted corn next to soybeans as maybe a more practical approach to it and more in line with the solar corridor system. And what happened, it did increase the corn yields, but it tended to decrease the soybean yield because the corn plants shaded the soybeans too much. But still, another approach to this same kind of concept. And interestingly, that this work was done probably about 200 yards from where the University of Illinois has just established their solar energy farm that's using solar panels to generate about 3% of the power requirement for the University of Illinois. That has nothing to do with the solar corridor. So we want to select a floor crop that's going to complete its life cycle and its maximum solar demand before the main crop really comes in and starts utilizing that, and before the main crop reaches its full size. So winter wheat, peas, some of those kinds of crops that you can plant the winter wheat, let it grow and get established, and then go back and plant the corn right in the rows between that. It helps to mitigate some of the nutrient losses from the fields. The cover, just the cover cover that's generated helps to keep some of the erosion problems down, for example. You have to be able to harvest and plant that floor crop at the proper time for this to work as well. Now, practically, doesn't really work with 24 or 48 row corn planters to tie this in. I don't know of anybody that's doing that, but so it maybe isn't practical for every farmer, but still the concept that we're looking at. Using large-scale equipment just probably isn't practical. Sometimes the floor crop could be shaded too much to really get much benefit from that, so you have to, again, be selective on the timing and the selection of the crop that's going to fit in the cycle with your main crop. The benefits to the main crop are that we get more light reaching the lower leaves. We get better sugar production in the lower leaves, and that photosynthate is what then helps to feed better root systems, which improves lower stalk quality. One of the problems that we have in corn production in general is that later in the season, most of the carbohydrate flow goes to the developing grain, and we cut off the supply of the roots. The roots and the lower leaves then become starved for carbohydrates. So by having healthier roots, that helps us to enhance nutrient and water uptake and so there's benefits from that standpoint. Improved airflow within the crop canopy is important. And some of the auxins and other growth regulators produced by the roots and lower stock are also important to keep photosynthetic activity and nitrogen utilization functioning at its full level. Better CO2 distribution helps us to avoid localized deficit situations. And I don't want to step on Jerry's toes here. He can tell me if I'm wrong, but at times, on a bright sunny day in the central Corn Belt, we can actually starve the growing corn crop by not having enough CO2 available. Despite all the problems with CO2 and global warming and so forth, we are taking a lot of CO2 out of the atmosphere. So the solar corridor and the improved airflow might help from that standpoint as well. And it helps to reduce the lower canopy temperature. One of the problems that causes more stress on corn later in the season is that the canopy gets too hot and the temperature gets above 85 degrees, corn doesn't grow as well. And so that becomes a factor. If we can help keep that temperature down, that also can be a benefit. And it may be under certain environments, the better airflow may help to reduce some of the disease pressure that we might have in the growing crop as well. That solar corridor as such then might affect the partitioning of the dry matter. How much is going into stalks, leaves, grain, and so forth. And how is that changing now with some of our modern hybrids that we're working with? We might get more photosynthesis in the lower leaves later in the season. More carbohydrates to the stalks, better lower stalk strength, and lodging resistance comes into play as well as some of the physiological factors that we talked about. And, I mentioned this one, the increased production of growth regulators and metabolic enzymes and so forth. So I got that slide out of line a little bit, I guess. And enhanced uptake and metabolism of nitrogen. There may be some effects, too, of using a C4 crop as the main crop and a C3 crop as the crop in between. What effect does that have on the possible enhanced CO2 fixation by either of the crops, or effects on respiration and photorespiration that we get in the C3 crops? So, again, physiological processes that might be affected by the solar corridor structure. And modern hybrids now take up their nitrogen later in the season from what they were 20 years ago. So this might have some impact as far as nitrogen use efficiency, again, by providing the carbohydrates and a better supply later in the season. Leroy already talked about or showed pictures like this. We need to look at the positioning of the main rows and then the positioning and alternating positioning of the main crop in those twin rows might also have some effect too. And in this case, the winter wheat can provide a cover crop during the winter months to help with erosion control. And the legume crop here, in this case cowpeas, could possibly provide some additional nitrogen that would benefit the corn as well. Another alternative, the corn-cowpea system, might be the corn-wheat system. Again, you can select different crops that fit the system that you're working with and maybe fit some of the equipment that you're working with, too. As we'll see in this afternoon session, some of the benefits of solar corridor may be even better in some of the developing countries where we have small-plot agriculture systems. It may not fit everywhere. This 48-row planter, it's hard to get down the solar corridor rows or the combine for harvesting. But we have alternatives. We can adapt. And here's a one-row plant or one-row harvester that might be very useful in a system like this. So the solar corridor does have some physiological benefits, some physiological explanation of why this does and might work and might be a good selection, a good opportunity to look at another way to improve yields and to solve some of our production system problems. I'd like to finish off with a little saying here that I've always thought was a good one for agronomists to live by. Whoever makes two ears of corn or two blades of grass to grow where only one grew before deserves better of mankind and does more essential service to his country and to the whole race, or than the whole race of politicians put together. Quote from Jonathan Swift. Thank you very much. If we have time for discussion or questions.
We have time for a couple of questions.
Yes.
Probably I have a question about other statements you made about the crop has about 50% of the surface area.
Right.
And I'm wondering if that's not a...
That's the space between the rows,
right,
that wide area. So we've got space,
right,
and that's what the solar corridor crop or the...
My question is, that's probably linear thinking about what affects the surface.
Yeah.
How about the below ground?
That's right.
The system distribution is going to occupy 100% of the solar body.
Right.
So how are we...
I don't know that the roots are going to fully utilize all that space, even with the main crop. So there is still benefit of having, you can utilize that space with that second crop. That's the idea, I guess, of the concept. But, you can't just say square foot per square foot or whatever. It doesn't quite match up. But there is more space there. And the point is that you can grow the same yields with those rows spread apart and the right hybrids. You can grow the same yield that you could in 30-inch rows. Yes?
You mentioned that when soybeans were the floor crop, that the yield of soybeans went down because of shading.
In this case, the Fred Welch's study, that's what happened.
Any sensitivity analysis in terms of spreading out the rows of the floor?
I don't think they did anything like that. It was just to kind of look at the effect of the two crops. He was looking at a lot of different architectures of how to position that plant and bending it over and so forth. Now we have farmers around Monticello there, where I live, the University of Illinois Allerton Park Farms, for many years grew their corn in 12-row strips alternating with 12-row strips of soybeans. And sometimes they would get a benefit yield-wise on both crops. Sometimes the soybean crop might suffer. The bottom line is, I guess, all the neighbors didn't pick up the idea and do it. So. And, of course, we were dependent on different herbicides, and that caused problems, too, in putting a system together. Any others? Okay, we'll have a question session later too. So.
We have time for the one more.
We have adopted growth chambers of about a square meter of surface area,
right,
of the soil. If we use curtains with the corn to grow it, we'll get about 90 micromoles per meter squared per second of photosynthesis.
Really?
But that goes up to about 120 if you don't use the curtains. And, so it's pretty big, just that outside thing, have a pretty big contribution.
I know Fred Welch and Johnny Pendleton, those guys, did not do any of those photosynthesis measurements in the field. It'd be nice to have that kind of information. And in the solar corridor, I don't know if anybody is doing that research that way or not.
I think we're going to have to end this portion here right now.
Thank you.
So thank you. Wonderful. We'll move on to our next speaker.